All right, good evening. Glad you are with us. I'm going to be joined tonight by Colonel John Mills. Then I'm going to be joined by Tony Hardwell. This is going to be a first-time guest. He's going to talk about some of the things going on related to this 30 tons of ammonium nitrate that is missing. That's a little concerning. You know, think Oklahoma City bombing. By the way, that was just the cover. That Oklahoma City truck bombing was a cover for the explosives that General Ben Parton, who is one of the leading experts on explosives for the U.S. government as a general, he said that was a cover for what was really done inside that building. But what is going on when you start having that much in 30 tons of ammonium nitrate missing? What's up? We'll get into that. Also tonight, James Roguski and Leo Holman, breaking news dealing with the World Health Organization and their desire to steal our sovereignty. And guess what? They're telling us to get ready. Get ready. Another pandemic's about to break out, and it's going to be a lot deadlier. Well, we pretty much predicted that. When I say we, I meant you, me, all of us that are informed. The collective we that actually have brain cells. The collective we that's tuned in and turned up on the information happening. We knew that was going to happen. It's worked really well for them this last pandemic. And we knew the next one would probably be deadlier because it's all about, what, depopulation in part, right? And scaring those who haven't gotten one of their COVID death shots or vaccines into getting whatever it is they're going to come up with next. So James Roguski and Leo Holman will join us with that. Wes Peters with an economic update. And then about 8:30, 8:35 Central Time, Dr. Peter McCullough, internist and cardiologist, Dr. Peter McCullough and Dr. John Witcher, medical Dr. John Witcher, who has announced he's running for governor in the state just a few miles away, Mississippi, my birth state of Mississippi. So we got a big, big program tonight. Hey, by the way, did you see the story out? I updated it at worldviewreport.com. Do you go to worldviewreport.com? Worldview Report is your daily aggregated news site where we search the very important news of the story, news stories of the day, and then bring them to you. And last night, one of the very last things I did was post this one right here. Senators issued satellite phones, offered demonstrations on upgraded security devices, brought us to a report by none other than CBS. They're offering all of the U.S. senators, there's 100 of those, by the way, if you failed high school civics, and 50 have picked up on their cell phone, the satellite phones, 50 senators. So why are they concerned that the communications might go out? What do they know that we don't know? Or what do they have planned? I do not think, as I said on radio today at 1 o'clock Central, I do not think this is a bad idea. I think this is actually a very smart idea if you're going to have a contingency of government. What I want to know is, A, why did they not do this before? This should have been done a long time ago. And B, why is it being done now? And C, does it have anything to do with, well, say, the threat from China, Iran, North Korea, Russia, EMP? I don't know. We'll get some of these issues tonight. Joining me now is none other than Colonel John Mills. He served on the National Security Staff for two presidents. He joins us on Tuesday nights for an update each and every Tuesday night, except for when he's traveling. And he's back on a regular schedule tonight. Colonel, welcome back to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us. Oh! Here we go.
Hey, Brandon, how are you doing? Time for another chart.
I know. I love it. I got excited there. I'm like, well, look at that. We get a chart. Everyone loves these charts. The floor is yours, General.
You.
I always call
thank
you General.
You.
Colonel, sorry.
And I got a on my Substack, Colonel Rhett John on Substack. My first section is I show the charts that I show on Brandon Howes and War Room. So right there, Brandon, I announced you right up there. And so, in October, I'm going to, boy, if you love charts, you're just going to fall out of your seat. You're going to have plastic surgery or remove the smile from your face after my presentations at your Lake of the Ozark show along with General Flynn.
That's
I'm
right.
Talk to General Flynn about these. We might even do some tag teaming on some of these charts here.
That'd
just
be
knock
awesome.
People's socks off.
That'd be
absolutely.
Awesome.
Absolutely. And those phones, that's very important. We used to, that was a high art form in the American government, was continuity of operations. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, the president's location has kind of been revealed. That's Mount Weather. Okay. Out in Virginia, not too far away from here. You have Site R, which that's not classified. The location of Site R is not classified. That's just up in Pennsylvania. I've been there. I was up there, and that was allowed to essentially fall apart. So when Wolfowitz was sent up by Rumsfeld right after 9/11, he shows up to a facility that had essentially been dormant for the 10 years since the end of the Cold War. It was pretty poor condition. And Rumsfeld and Wolfowitz said, we're going to make this a first-class operation. And believe me, it is a first-class operation, again, back at Site R for the Pentagon and Joint Staff. Now, when the Greenbrier site was exposed, Greenbrier, West Virginia, that was an incredible site for Congress. You know, where is that new site at? Well, I happen to know where it's at, and I'm not going to tell you. So, but continuity of operations is very important. Again, we used to have experts in that. It was a high art form, and we need to get back into that because we are rapidly heading toward a showdown and conflict. Despite somebody in the White House we're not crazy about, until we can get Donald J. Trump back in there, it is who it is until we can make a lawful swap out. But we got to get back into continuity of operations. Unfortunately, a lot of the old timers in COOP have retired, and that art form, there's a gap in the art form. So we got to get spinning up on that again. And getting those phones back out to the center is a good thing. So, yeah, so that's good.
And,
that's
and by good. The way, I also have it worldviewreport.com. It fits with what you're talking about tonight. And that is Biden greenlights training Ukrainian pilots in the West. So again, let's just keep poking a stick in Russia's eye as we fight this proxy war with Russia, and then we wonder why we might have a blowback or a cyber attack or an EMP attack that requires passing out satellite phones to U.S. senators. Then I got another one here. Here we go. IDF chief, the Israeli Defense Force chief, an Iran nuke advances could lead us to needing to attack. IDF intel chief says next major war is looming. And of course, we know that the Islamists think we're the great Satan. Israel's the little Satan. So if Israel goes and does something, boy, that could open up all kinds of these terror cells that are here, Hamas, Hezbollah, etc., that are sitting here waiting on orders. So we are in a dicey situation right now.
And Israel had developed over several decades a very good relationship with a number of the Arab countries in an alliance against Iran. And now that Saudi has flipped into the China corner, I don't know how that's going. But that's the people. A lot of people don't understand the very close relationship Israel had with a number of the Arab countries. And Brandon just messed that up big time. And they were just rude to the Saudis, cold shoulder. It just really treated them shabbily. And, you know, it was like MBS says, well, you know, geez, this is a no-brainer. You don't want my energy. You hate me. You hate everything about us. Well, I guess we're just going to go with China. So what is that? You know, any kind of nuclear exchange, this is going to be crazy time. And that alliance between Israel and the Arab states has now been broken. I don't know if it's been broken, but it just, it's not what it used to be. And thank you, Biden. But what I wanted to do tonight is there are three things that are going on. As you know, essentially China has established a drone blockade in many ways of Taiwan, and this is their way to essentially conduct an embargo and encirclement, a blockade of Taiwan, because they want to take Taiwan alive and unspoiled, because they need the chips of the six big TSMC plants on Taiwan. Now, to do that blockade, and they've been doing this drone blockade as 5 months of intense air and naval challenges to Taiwan's sovereignty have gone on. They've taken a reset. We've been doing our Balakatan exercise in the Philippines, which has secured the left shoulder of Taiwan, the weak shoulder. But China has converted to continuous air patrols on the eastward side of Taiwan, facing us, facing the Pacific Ocean. Now, to do that blockade, there's three things that they got to do to put a blockade on the blockade, to a buffer, or to keep us away from doing something about that blockade. And I've studied the map I'm going, oh my, this is what's going on. So I want to talk about this. And Biden could easily do these actions to deter conflict with China. Easily. Will they? Probably not, or do it pretty and poor. But these are easy steps to take. So I want to talk about these three things China's likely to do and our counteractions, a scorecard of the Biden team, and also two other faction actions that we got to do to deter the blockade. But first of all, to help them blockade Taiwan, there's three things they're going to do. China seized the Panama Canal. And right now, Panama essentially, China eventually essentially controls the Panama Canal. There's about five Chinese companies there that control the ports on each end. They run the contract for the pilots. Those are the skippers that are the experts on the bridge of the ship as it's passing through. That are the experts in it, and they essentially have legal control of that ship from the skipper, actual skipper of the merchant vessel. And that's a Chinese company that essentially controls that. They also control the water management of the Panama Canal. So if you wanted to accidentally turn on the spigots to drain the canal, or there's the Madden Dam, which controls a lake, which controls the waters into the canal, they could mess those up. So first, China will seize the Panama Canal, and they are essentially in place ready to do that. By seizing the Panama Canal, they take 50% of our Navy off the table, because our Navy can't get there. I mean, they'd have to go all the way around South America. That's just not a good idea. And so right off our already weak Navy, boom, 50% of it gone. So seize the Panama Canal. That's step number one. And okay, there we go. The Suez Canal. And I'm going to be talking about this more here. We have in Djibouti, we have Camp Lemonnier, and we also have the CIA drone base out there, okay? Coincidentally, China, several years ago, without any notice, without any warning, totally surprised us, went to Djibouti and said, hey, we want to be there also. Here's some money, and we want to build our base camp. And they built an incredible base camp, and they keep essentially what we would call a battalion, maybe a battalion plus, of armored and mechanized forces. We don't have any armored or mechanized forces in our Camp Lemonnier. We have logistics, we have humanitarian, and we have special operators who are chasing terrorists into Somalia, now into Ethiopia, what's going on, also into Nigeria, also into the war that's winding down just across the straits in Yemen, a very bad area. So we don't have any armor or artillery there. The Chinese do. They could easily do it. I've done it. I've measured the time from the time, and the Chinese have been practicing armored thunder runs out the gates. And everybody's going, oh, what is it? Because you got to remember, our Desert Storm in 1991 is their model of the perfect military event. And they could hardly wait to do their own thunder run. And they've been practicing thunder runs. They could be at our gates within 7 minutes. 7 minutes. They can be surrounding our Camp Lemonnier with an armored force and just leveling our place. And we have ships potentially tied up in the harbor. Ship, you know, and people say the Navy guys will go, oh, it's an Arleigh Burke, you know, that's a big ship. It's very vulnerable when it's tied up pier side. They could have a tank platoon down there within 5 minutes and just decimate any of our ships that are tied up. So seize the Panama Canal, seize the Suez Canal, because that once they have Djibouti, they just tell Egypt, hey, you get $10 billion a year from user fees from the canal. We'll pay you that for a couple of years. Don't worry about it. Third is a China cyber blitz on our domestic critical infrastructure. And in the National Defense Authorization Act, it's Section 1088. And there's a mandated cyber tabletop to gauge and understand the effect on our defense-related critical infrastructure stateside and how China can degrade it in case of conflict with China. So, and it's all about power. It's about ports, our shipping ports. China makes 75% of the cranes in our ports are made by China. And with a flip of a switch, they could turn them off or they could topple them over. Okay, all those big container cranes, easily trick the container crane into thinking it's in balance, move the weights out, and boom, it topples over. It's just catastrophic. And it's also about plants. So power, plants, power, ports, and plants. Plants being our defense industrial base. So these are the likely three actions by China. Panama, seizing the Suez. Now we need Panama. We need Panama. World trade needs Panama. 6% of the entire world trade passes through Panama. It's actually a pretty high percentage. But we have to have it. It's our lifeblood. Suez, it doesn't affect us a whole lot when it comes to trade or sustainment of our nation. Europe needs it. Europe can't live without the Suez Canal. So they asphyxiate us, asphyxiate Europe, and then also China cyber blitz. These three actions would totally tie us down and prevent us once they start conducting their blockade. The two other key things is also the Pacific republics, island republics. Biden made a horrible decision to bypass all the Pacific republics. They want us so badly. They want to be on our side so badly. And they were going to go to Papua New Guinea, right above Australia. And Biden said, I'm too busy for you peons. I have to do an Excel spreadsheet for Congress. You know, come on, give me a break. Huge. And also Diego Garcia. We're about to lose Diego Garcia in the Indian Ocean because of the incompetence of the Biden team. And also nuclear recapitalization. So essentially, these are the different Biden entities. So you got Jake Sullivan, who we know is a total snake at the National Security Council, Blinken at State, Austin at Defense, somebody at the DNI, Merrick Garland at Justice, Mayorkas at Hull, just a rogues gallery of incompetence, So make a long story short, a lot of easy actions they could do. Let's take Panama, for example. Blinken, tell the new Ambassador Ponte, you get with Panama and you say, what's it going to take? How much is it going to cost to eject those five Chinese companies? You tell us, we'll write you a check out of the unspent COVID funds and the Build Back Better funds. You just tell us and we'll write you a check right now. Throw them out. We're back. Now, what is Ambassador Ponte doing? She's lecturing Panama about transgenderism. Insanity. Absolute insanity. So bottom line, failing scorecard across the board for the Biden team. Three things that China is likely going to do to support their own blockade of Taiwan. These are easily, we can counter these very easy if Biden had the resolve, had the will, and wasn't bought off and paid for. We could easily resolve these. And also, we can't let Diego Garcia fall into Chinese hands, which is what's going on. These island republics in the Pacific, they're wonderful countries. Palau, Federated States of Micronesia, Vanuatu, they want us. They want us desperately, and Biden blows them off. And of course, we've talked at length about the nuclear recap that is still, we got to get going. But I wrote all these easy actions. I'll post it on Colonel Rhett John at my Substack account. But ladies and gentlemen, Panama, Suez, and they're going to do a cyber blitz on us to support.
Wow.
Other than that, everything's going great.
Other than that, sleep well, Americans. And so now you know why in 2013 I ordered up enough freeze-dried food for my family for some time. In 2016, we started offering these supplies to our audience. Pretty clear why now, isn't it?
And the pills that counteract the
anti-radiation tablets to protect your thyroid, the potassium tablet, potassium iodide?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Wise idea. Stock up. Have some of those for the family. Seriously, I'm not kidding.
Look at this headline just came out while you were talking. I found it. Nuclear apocalypse more likely if the West continues to supply Ukraine with increasingly powerful weapons, so says Putin crony. Again, this is, of course, the former Russian president, Dmitry Medvedev, saying this. And, of course, we found out tonight, reported on our Worldview Report news broadcast, that Biden's given the green light to train Ukrainian pilots here in the West. Before we go, because I got a full lineup tonight. Wow. Before we go, are you saying that China could manipulate our cranes that load and offload containers here in the U.S.?
I'm not saying this had anything to do with the 737 aircraft and the force center of gravity there on that. It's a very simple technical arrangement to come in because they have remote maintenance. And this is what I gave federal testimony on support of Carrie Lake. That I gave the history of remote access operations. All these Chinese cranes in our ports have back doors for remote maintenance monitoring.
So they could shut down all our cranes, shut down all our cranes in the U.S. at our ports and stop us from unloading ships and getting off supplies.
They could turn them off, or even worse, they could trick these large, if you've ever been down to a port, these super large container cranes that, you know, they, as they're lifting these, 60-ton containers, these 48, 52, well, they could drop them, or, you know, as those heavy containers are coming up and moving out, there's huge counterweights in the back that are moving to adjust for those weights. Well, you trick the container, so as that container is going out over the ship to load down, that counterweight is going back to counter that weight. Well, you trick the container into thinking, oh, just bring the weight forward, but you override all the alerts, all the alarms, and so the operator's up there thinking, hey, everything's good. Next thing you know, that man or woman starts to topple over forward on top of that ship. So you wiped out the crane, you wiped out the ship, you've just shut down that quay and that berth position for weeks as the mess is undone.
And then which is of course an issue with our just-in-time inventory. And what did you say about the chips in a 747 or some kind of plane in gravity?
That's the 737 MAX where they're forcing the center of gravity. Now, the official party line and the investigation was, you know, Boeing engineers were, essentially not telling the truth on the immature level of the technology. But it's a very similar concept where you're tricking the airplane into thinking it has a different center of gravity. Center of gravity is all important in a moving object like that, whether it be cranes, whether it be airplanes. You've got to keep that maintained. But if you trick it, that could be a good thing because you can increase efficiencies as the transition on takeoff and landing. But if that trickery fails, the aircraft immediately, boom, down, because it's being tricked into a false center of gravity. And technically and engineering-wise, that can work and create efficiencies. But if it goes wrong, it's catastrophic.
Wow. TheNationWillFollow.com, incredible presentation, folks. You will find the chart that he's got there on his TV monitor. Where will they find that, Colonel?
So Colonel Rhett John, Colonel R-E-T John on Substack. That's where I post all these beautiful charts that I show to Brandon. Colonel Rhett John on Substack. Obviously, Colonel Rhett John on Getter and Truth. But all these visuals, because I get hounded for them, I put them on Substack, and we'll have in October at Lake of the Ozarks, I'm really looking forward to that. We will have, it'll just blow people away. People are going to have to take sick leave, annual leave after the event to recover from these charts.
Love it. Love it, love it, love it. TheNationWillFollow.com, TheNationWillFollow.com. Thank you, Colonel.
And book two, it'll be Skyhorse Publishing with Steve Bannon. It'll be the war against the deep state. And that our plan is to have that ready and roll it out at your October Lake of the Ozarks gathering.
I like that idea, and people can get a signed personal copy right there for their friends just in time for the holidays. Excellent idea. Thank you, Colonel.
Brandon, always an honor to be with you. Thank you.
You too. Colonel John Mills checking in. Check out his site, thenationwillfollow.com. And you can get your tickets for this conference, the Ozarks Conference, our 20th annual Ozarks Worldview Weekend. I've been holding these Worldview Weekends for 33 years now. Man, I'm getting old. But this will be our 20th year in the Ozarks, and the tickets are flying out the door with Colonel John Mills, Mike Lindell, General Michael Flynn, Todd Benzman, Alex Newman, Dr. Peter McCullough, Rebecca Walzer. I mean, it's an incredible lineup. Full details, WVWTVstore.com. They're selling fast. WVWTVstore.com. Make sure you also check out the number on that site and the code to make your resort reservations that are right there on the water, right there on the water on beautiful Lake of the Ozarks. WVWTVstore.com.